Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So we have a wonderful set of assignments from over the weekend.
Aha.
Here was the first one. I do not want the peace that passeth understanding. I want the understanding which bringeth peace. Today, consider what you would need to understand to find peace. Now drop that need and feel the peace. It's not either or, is it? With the understanding that there's nothing wrong, that all is well, we feel peace. When we feel peace, we understand that life is all, nothing left out or nothing left over. Record your experience of not needing anything but peace. Re-listen to yesterday's recording about being peace and add to the joy. And April 1st, wherever there is a human being, there's a chance for kindness. Compassion arises when we realize that every one of us suffers. We know the experience of being identified with ego and can understand how a person under the control of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, can do something that is unskillful or unconscious. Every human being suffers, and so every interaction with a human being is an opportunity for us to turn to and choose unconditional love. Today, notice every chance of kindness that you encounter. RL your experience of the conscious, compassionate awareness that animates all of being authentically human. And then on Sunday, a kind word is like a spring day. Close your eyes, take a few conscious breaths, and imagine a spring day. What does a spring day feel like? How do you feel on a spring day? Turn on the recorder and put words to your experience of spring. How is a kind word like a spring day? What about a spring day feels kind? As you listen to your recording, experience the kindness in your words.
Wow.
Wow.
Big weekend.
So shall we hear from our, yes, big weekend.
Yeah.
Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Well, I was having the experience this morning when I put myself in the cube condition. I was like, well, you didn't really see anything these last couple of days. And then, of course, once I'm listening back to them, I'm like, oh, right, I saw that. Yeah.
Yes, well, what is true is conditioning didn't see anything. So once again,
yeah.
You know, we can say, well, that's true. You conditioning didn't see anything. However, I, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the powerful experiences I had was looking at the peace thing about, you know, what we need to understand to have peace. And I just, when I was sort of looking at, you know, just having the peace without needing to understand or the way I was thinking about it was like, what would the peace feel like if I understood, if I had that understanding? And the image that I kept having was like that I was an ocean. And kind of like everything was contained in the ocean.
You know, what strikes me about that quote, particularly whenever I encounter it, is that it was Helen Keller saying that.
Yeah.
People who are Helen Keller fans, you know, it's just one of those where, and of course, you know, you could say if somebody didn't know Helen Keller, then it would be, well, that's, of course, you know, she would be in that place of, you know, whatever it is because of all that was. But if you followed along with her life, I mean, her insights were extraordinary. Her level of awakening was astounding. And yeah, here we are with all of our faculties struggling. I just like those kinds of places that help me see that whatever conditioned mind would like to tell me is a problem that is keeping me from whatever, or the reason that I can't, or that sort of, just to have these folks as reminders that that's probably actually not true.
Yeah, and I hadn't actually kind of made that connection, but I mean, one of the big things that I was sort of looking at with this was, you know, conditioning tells me that if only I could understand kind of what's going on with my body and health opportunities and all that, then I could be peaceful. Then I could, you know, and just looking at how about I'm peaceful with all that, you know, not needing to understand that in order to be peaceful.
Yes, yes. Because the understanding that we usually go to is a conditioned mind understanding, right? If I could figure this out, then I would be all right. But what you're pointing at is, what I need to understand is, this is what is. This is what's going on with me right now. And that's not a "this is what is" in capital letters, like I understand what is. It's just, this is where I am right now. This is what's going on. This is what I'm experiencing right now. That's all I really need to understand. And if I can be at peace with that, then I would have to leave that in order to find a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I just wanted to say is, because I know you've talked about this a lot, but I've just been noticing, you know, I've, in terms of just sort of the meta process of showing up for these calls, I've noticed I've been able to be here for all of the calls, but I've just been noticing this process of, like, you know, conditioning, setting it up so that I don't actually get out of the house in time, so I am listening to the calls while I'm in transit to work and, you know, different things like that, and just sort of just noticing that process.
Just all those little ways that ego is working constantly to mess us up, right? That at the end of the day, it can give us a comprehensive list of all of its shenanigans that we fell for. Yeah, and what you're doing is seeing it, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what practice is seeing all of that. It's not a mistake that's happening. It's not a mistake even that we're falling for it, because it's all part of practicing. It's all part of our growing, expanding awareness.
That's nice to have reflected.
Yeah, that's good to remember and get on a recording at the end of the day, right? So I saw that one, saw that one, I saw through that one. I realized that was happening, recognized that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Laura.
All right. Well, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Laura. It's just so important. That is practice in a nutshell, right, Cherry? We pay attention. We watch our process. We watch the process, how it operates. We get really clear about it. And then we choose the behavior that will alter that process that causes us to suffer. And as we practice that, we wear away the groove.
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we wear away the groove that causes us in suffering, and the wearing away of that groove seems to open up an understanding, within quotes, that is blocked by engaging in that process.
Yes. So listening to what you said was very relaxing, right? Because it's not a doing.
Right? Yes.
It's a seeing and a recognizing. And as we see it and recognize it for what it is, we realize we don't actually need to do anything, that the seeing is the thing that is making all the difference.
Exactly.
Is that kind of it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, well, and the relaxation also comes from understanding the pattern of the process, right? It's
yeah.
just like a process map for a suffering process. There's a process map for transformation. And we can, when we go through it a couple of times, we recognize where we are in the pattern, and it's relaxing because we know that showing up and practicing or paying attention and expanding awareness and using the practice tools is the process of moving through whatever stops us from being
yes.
awake.
Yeah. So as you were saying that, I pictured moving to a new city. And I don't know where anything is. And I'm finding my way around. And I'm starting to recognize landmarks and relationships of one thing to another. Conditioned mind, if it were in a, I don't know, often probably conditioned mind would still make that a problem. But we would at least know that it is expected that we don't know how this works until we have seen and realized how it works. And then
mm-hmm.
once we do, then we find our way around. And the additional comforting part of that for me is realizing that everybody who comes to that new city has to learn their way around. So everything
yes.
that happens to us is not a unique circumstance, right?
Mm-hmm.
That process map of suffering, every human being who gets to that point of awareness is going to have the same realization. It's not
mm-hmm.
personal.
Mm-hmm. 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 And the comforting part is if we do it with a bunch of people doing it, that's what we realize. It's not personal.
Yes. Yeah. This is just it. And so then it really becomes that the fun of finding my way through this maze. Oh, there's that.
Yes.
There's that. Oh, yeah, that's that one. Uh-huh, there's that one. Well, that, yeah, there's that one. And if there's no right and wrong, and it's not about me, then truly we don't have a problem. And that, to me, is the big understanding that we're getting.
Right. It's taking us back to the
exit. Brings the peace.
That yes,
what?
That is the understand. That is the. I was just going to say that brings us back to the assignment, right? The peace that passeth all understanding, and the understanding that bringeth the peace. That's the
yes.
relaxation.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Here, that's so good. Let me bring on our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller. All right, maybe not. I will see if I can bring them on again next time, but here's our next caller.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan.
Oh, hi, Dan.
Hi. So I wanted to look at the spring one, and I got to the assignment late. There was, of course, the de rigueur, oh, it's too late, you know, not enough time. So I sat down and just recorded.
Did it.
so
you did it.
It only takes 30 seconds, you know. Wow, you know, I love spring. And I was just there, you know, just that bubbling energy, the lightness. It's happened lots of times before, but this time it just really hit that the quality of my life is the focus of my attention. I thought of a spring day. I was in the spring day, and I was full of joy. And so this morning at work, there's lots of problems. And I go back to the spring day, and conditioning is like self-hate is like, wait, you're just going to spend all your time in a spring day? And this time it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, if I'm going to have problems, I want them to be in the midst of a spring day. Thank you very much.
Yeah, because, you know, this problem attitude hasn't actually reduced the number of problems I'm facing, quote unquote.
Right. No. Quite the contrary, right?
If I have problems, yeah, yeah. And if there are problems to solve, why not solve them from a spring day?
Yes, and why not let the origin of that spring day, which is the same origin as all situations, resolve whatever issues human beings are calling problems.
Right, it'll look very
different. Because the thing we know is it will happen with kindness.
Yeah, that's a nice theme. Solving problems with from the, in quotes, let's just say responding to life from that place of upset and problem, I've tried enough. And it doesn't work nearly as effectively as kindness, a spring day.
Yeah, if that approach made us successful, we would all be more wildly successful than we can even imagine, right? If upset were the secret to getting us through to where we're going, wow, we would have gotten there long ago.
And so that highlighted a belief that the way to do things, the way I was conditioned was you have to look, you know, you have to suffer through a problem, which just...
Hunch your shoulders, knit your brow, scowl, and take everything really seriously, and be miserable. That's the way we're meant to approach life from conditioning's perspective.
Yeah, it's been said before, but that just brought up the image of, you know, 3-year-olds playing adults. You know, they get all serious and speak in deep voices like this, and
right. And say awful things to each other. Right?
Oh, yeah.
They're saying, "Oh God, you didn't hear. You never heard me say that, did you, honey? Please tell me you never heard me say that." And of course, what they're mimicking is how we are, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever the words are, that's how it comes across. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I actually had a wake up call. My partner echoed something I would say in frustration. I was like, "Whoa, okay." But that's, I got to be more aware of that. We're stopping that.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I didn't know I was doing that. I don't want to do that. Okay, thank you.
Right.
So
not
we
a
don't
judgment,
have to be defensive.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to be defensive. Oh, thank you. I didn't realize how that sounded. Yeah.
Yeah, it's helpful to have our unconsciousness reflected.
It really is. It really is. If we're committed to waking up, then those people who help us wake up, we know are our friends and allies. Those people who help us stay asleep, we know whose side they're on.
So,
yeah.
Thank
right.
you. What a gift, a spring day.
Yeah, spring day. What a delight. Thank you, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dan. It's the way of transformation, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I just heard that, and when I heard that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't look to people who will help you be comfortable.
Yes, yes. And the gratitude to the structures that, in the Rumi quote, right, that the if you don't beat the carpet, how do you get the dust out from it? And it's not that you're being beaten. The carpet's not being beaten. The dust is being beaten out.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Or something. I completely butchered that, but regardless. That
well,
would be
but, it, but
what
the,
I got from the
yeah, but we're tracking where you're going with it. And it's really true. If we really want to be free, then we have to go through what ego is going to do to us in order to get from here to freedom. Well, here to here, actually.
And when we get that distinction,
that's why we talk about having suffered enough, mm-hmm. right? Because we're not going to do it until we really choose not to suffer. And when we choose not to suffer, then we will do what is required not to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're
right.
Live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Well, hello,
hey,
Jen.
Hello. So I'm actually out on a spring day, which is amazing and a little loud. So if there's noise, let me know.
You sound good.
Okay, good. I'm walking by a little construction right now, so I'm going to try to walk really quickly here past that. So I'm just so grateful for the show, and I'm also grateful to get unmuted. You know, I was watching that I've only put myself in the queue a few times. I listen pretty much every day, but I so appreciated, Sherry, that you keep reminding us, what will happen is before we know it, we'll start scheduling appointments at the time of the call or just being like, oh, I can listen later. And, you know, I definitely have seen those kinds of things trying to sneak in. And what I was watching is even though I am typically on the call, the voices have just really been ramping up to keep me from really being able to listen. It's like I'm on the call, but I'm not really getting to hear the call. You know, I'm listening to what the voices are distracting me with instead. So it was like, okay, myself in the queue. That's going to help to up the practice here.
Right, right. Because otherwise, that's such a good point. Otherwise, you're not really participating, are you? So I can just I can sit here. With the phone to my ear or earbuds or what, however I want to do it. But I don't actually have to be here because I'm not participating. I'm a spectator, right?
Exactly.
And spectators are free. You know, when you're on the court or you're on the field or you're on the, court, whatever, I guess those are, anyway, whatever game you're playing and you're the player. That's one level of paying attention. But if you're sitting in the stands, you know, it's true. You can be making phone calls, texting people, talking to your neighbor, run out for a soda. You know, you can have a whole world of things that you're doing that don't actually have anything to do with what you're there for. And I think
we could
see ourselves in that place a lot in our lives, huh?
Yes. It's kind of shocking, like so many times it's like, wait, what did Sherry just say? What was that caller talking about? And realizing like, I really want to practice, being allowed to be here instead of the voices. Getting to pull the attention. So it's exciting to be practicing with God. I loved all of these too. The kindness is just so, I had a really glorious day with the whenever there's a human being, there's a chance for kindness. I had a chance to be with some people and share food with a bunch of people. We were in this situation where there wasn't food and everybody was hungry, and it was really fun. It was just fun to be looking and open for those ways to share kindness. And then the spring day, I loved that, I guess, because it is such a, I'm having that visceral experience here in the Northeast. I am always so grateful when that kind of harsh. So what I was seeing is, it feels really harsh and the body is constricted in winter, or at least that's how I experience it because, whatever. That's how I experience it. the way that a spring day is like, it does feel so kind. Mm-hmm. Like the body relaxes and a little warmth is coming back to the earth and the flowers are starting to come and, you don't have to kind of bend your body against the cold wind. You can start to really enjoy. And
I was straighten up and breathe fully.
Yeah. yes, it's just such a delight. And I feel that same thing with kindness. What I've been watching is, the voices have been, there's just been, they're always just doing what they're doing. And they've been really on a nasty kick again lately. I'm just never doing enough, and I'm always the wrong person is kind of the refrain so much of the time. That's pretty much what they're telling me.
Isn't it great, though, that it is a familiar refrain? After a while, we just get to, I know. I'm the wrong person, and I'm not, got it.
Right. I know what you're saying. Yeah, it is true. Right. And there is certainly, with practice, more distance from it. And it's such a, like kindness, it's just such a gift. And remembering, like, it's great fun to offer kindness to external people, but to offer like that always blows me away when I can get back to that more centered place. And there's a reminder, like what we have in Project Joy, and just the kindness. It feels like the snow melting and the reflecting when it's like, hey, you know, that mentoring, like, hey, you're doing a great job. You're doing the best you can. You know, I'll help you prioritize these things, or, you know, whatever it is, but you're not that, you know, whatever, you know, miserable failure that the voices are always telling you are, whatever. I just was really experiencing that and just so grateful for this.
Yeah. Oh. Are you there, Jen?
Okay, yes, I was afraid I lost you.
Oh, it sounded like you went away. All right.
No, I just thought yes. I should pause there, but yes.
Well, and all of those things come together so beautifully, don't they? They really do. When we have that distance, and it is true that it's the image of a spring day is such a good one, because there are times when we are more challenged and times when we are less challenged. And so, you know, when conditioning is less at us, when it seems like circumstances are more conducive to relaxation and presence and that sort of thing. And so it's true. When we have those openings, we really want to take advantage of them, because there are going to be times when we're just sort of hunkering down and surviving and doing the best that we can. So that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
okay,
to see all
well,
of that.
Thank you so much.
And to understand that. You know, there are going to be times that are way harder than others. That's just how it works. It's not a mistake. It's not that I'm doing something wrong because it's winter. And,
yeah.
You know, the spirits are not quite as buoyant. We just notice that. We just fold that into the, yes, yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It's such an amazing support having this every day, and I'm going to practice getting in the queue more often.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad of that, and I'm grateful for that reminder for everybody, because the way you laid it out is exactly the way it happens. At first, you know, I put myself in the queue, and then I don't. I just listen in, and then I'm doing a few other things while I'm listening, and then pretty soon, you know, I'm taking phone calls while I'm listening, listening in quotes, or whatever, and, you know, planning my day, taking a shower, and we realize, wait a minute, I really am not a participant here, and I want to be a participant in life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So thank you. Yes. Enjoy that spring day.
Oh, I am.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Good.
Bye.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. You know, Sherry, I was hoping to squeeze another caller in, but I think it's 9:27, and maybe we just move to our next assignment with the hope of ending at 9:30.
That'd be great. Yeah, we'll
okay.
be on time.
Yes, the thing that you were saying about participation, we had a recent Seasons of Joy retreat at the monastery, and we all participated in just doing the work of the monastery, and one of the participants did say that the ability to just walk in, right, and weed, eat, or participate in the kitchen so alters our sense of belonging. Because it's not about an invitation. There's not about a hierarchy. There's not about earning your place. You just are included. Because inclusion is what life is about. And when we drop what excludes us and just engage, there's such a sense of the non-separation. Whereas indulging that conversation is always a sense of separation. And so just to do what everyone else is doing, or participating, then we get to be a part of.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. When we drop what is excluding us, that's it. When I drop that conversation in my head about me and them and that and it, when I drop that and I'm just here, then there's always a place for me. There's always an activity for me. I fit in. I have to exclude myself not to feel that I fit in or that I belong, and or conditioning has to exclude me. So that's a very helpful image.
Yeah.
Get here and take a place.
Yes, then the snowflakes following in the proper place completely makes sense, right? Because they can't not. It's only if you have a story that they're not. Yeah.
Well, and that's funny, isn't it? Because the snowflake is in the in its proper place, but if it were like us, it would have a story about how this isn't really the proper place.
And I'm not the right snowflake. And I'm not like every other snowflake.
Yeah, and I'm not doing enough as a snowflake.
Yeah,
it's so silly, isn't it?
Yeah, and every snowflake mm-hmm. is supposed to be unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fingerprint,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
like
here's our assignment.
Universe.
Yes,
thank you.
Exactly so. Deeds of kindness are equal in weight to all the commandments. We're deeply programmed that what is important in life is greatness, the best, the biggest, the most, and of course everything fails to meet those conditioned standards. Because of that conditioning, we often fail to notice the small things that truly make a difference in our lives. An act of kindness is equal in weight to all that the voices say we must be spiritually. Today, drop ego standards, do a deed of kindness, and experience the spiritual heft of kindness. Take the measure of the weight in a recording and listening. Act.
Wow. Read the quote just one more time. Just the quote, would you, Ashwini?
Deeds of kindness are equal in weight to all the commandments.
Uh-huh. Wow. That sense that I could be the best person in the world by ego standards, and it still would not mean as much as if I were kind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's big.
Very
All right.
Big.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.